In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The book of Acts tells us that in the beginning, the Christian movement consisted of the 12 apostles and about 120 other believers, about the size of our own weekly attendance. To this small group, Jesus gave an astounding assignment: go and make disciples of all nations, a whole world to be conquered for Christ. But how? There's a hymn that says, God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. We see that in the story of Pentecost, how God works all things according to his plan to spread the gospel and make disciples of all nations. It was no accident or just a coincidence that God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven were assembled at Jerusalem on the first Pentecost, because nearly 1,500 years beforehand, the Lord had established through Moses the festival of Pentecost on the 50th day after Passover. Pentecost literally means the 50th day. The 50th day after the Passover. For the ancient Hebrews, Pentecost was a harvest celebration, much like our Thanksgiving Day. The Lord placed this festival where he did, 50 days after the Passover, for a purpose, because he planned for his Son to one day die at the Passover celebration, sacrificed like a Passover lamb as the atoning sacrifice to take away the sins of the world. The Lord planned that on the third day his Son would rise from the dead. The Lord planned that after his Son's resurrection he would be on earth for 40 days, appearing to his disciples. And the Lord planned that 10 days after his Son's ascension, the 50th day after the Passover, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven would be gathered together in Jerusalem for the festival of Pentecost. Jesus gave an astounding assignment: go and make disciples of all nations. We see in the story of Pentecost how God works all things according to his plan to spread the gospel and make disciples of all nations. For gathered at Jerusalem for the Pentecost festival were Jews from Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. These God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven were faithfully waiting for the Messiah, the promised Savior. The Holy Spirit came upon the disciples as tongues of flame and enabled them to speak in the languages of these people from all over the world. They heard the good news in their own tongues. Jesus is the Messiah you've been waiting for, the Son of God, the long-awaited Savior of the world. They heard the disciples declaring the wonders of God in their own tongues, and then they took this good news back with them to every nation under heaven. God does indeed move in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. It seemed an impossible task that this small handful of the first Christians could make disciples of all nations. But God had it all worked out long beforehand in his plan. God jump-started the growth of the Christian church by bringing representatives from throughout the ancient world to the apostles and miraculously enabling the apostles to speak the gospel in their different languages, and then sending them back with the gospel to every nation under heaven. And what is God's plan for us today? How is God still working all things according to his plan to bring the light of the gospel to our dark world? You wouldn't think anything good could come out of the current crisis that we have been enduring the past several months. However, churches all across the country are reporting that despite social distancing, people are getting connected. The sudden absence of worship services, something that people before may have taken for granted, seems to have resulted in many in a greater desire to worship. When all this started, the pundits predicted that canceling services for months would be the death of many churches. But churches quickly found innovative ways, such as our drive-in services, to continue worshiping while staying within the guidelines. Fellow pastors I speak with all report with amazement the same phenomenon that no one expected when all this started. Instead of devastating church attendance, when in-person worshipers like you are combined with those watching online, many churches have actually maintained or even increased their attendance. So even in the midst of all this, Christ is still seeking out and bringing back lost and wandering sheep to his flock. 25 years ago, when my former congregation in Lawrence, Kansas, built a new sanctuary, there was an amazing example of how God has all things planned out in ways that we could never imagine. When they were first starting the congregation, 10 years before the new sanctuary was built, a former organist of the congregation had purchased at auction from the University of Kansas a pipe organ, an historic instrument originally made for the university's Hoke Auditorium in 1922. Although this organist had since moved to another part of Kansas, he had kept this pipe organ all those years in climate-controlled storage, waiting for the day when his former congregation at Lawrence would build a sanctuary. No one at the church knew anything about this. It was a total surprise when, after we started construction, he contacted us and offered to donate a pipe organ for our new sanctuary worth several hundred thousand dollars. But the story gets even better. The organ loft in the new church had a low, sloped ceiling with several large beams running through it. As the organ builder was installing the organ, I noticed that many of the pipes were mitered at a 90-degree angle so that they fit perfectly under this sloped ceiling. I assumed he had to miter all these pipes and commented what a big job it must have been. He replied, "You know, that's the funny thing. When I unpacked the pipes, they were all mitered just perfectly to fit in your church. I can tell they've never been altered. That's how they were originally made. It's like this organ was built back in 1922 to fit perfectly 70 years later into your new church." And you know, that's exactly what happened. God had it all planned out. Even more amazing than that, because one of the large beams supporting the roof went through the pipe chamber, right where a big pipe was supposed to be, the organ builder at first thought he would have to do an expensive modification of the wind chest on which the pipes sit. When I later asked him about this, he said, "Well, I've never seen anything like it. When I started putting everything together, I discovered the original wind chest built back in 1922 had an extra pipe position. So all I had to do was just shift the pipes over and leave the space under the beam empty. You know, there's only 88 keys on a keyboard. and in 30 years as an organ builder, I've never seen or heard of a wind chest with positions for 89 pipes. I can't imagine why they would have built it that way. But of course, we know why. God moves in a mysterious way, His wonders to perform. Can you imagine how astounded the old folks here would be now if they knew that we could broadcast video of our services live into Trinity members' homes? And when this all started, we really didn't have to do anything special to make that happen. The technology was all there, ready to go in this crisis. It doesn't even cost us anything extra to do such a marvel. That's like the Lord establishing 1,500 years in advance the festival that one day would gather together at Jerusalem for the first Pentecost, people from every nation under heaven, who would then take the good news of the Messiah's coming throughout the world. Jesus gave an astounding assignment: go and make disciples of all nations. For the first Christians, He worked all things together in His plan to make that happen. And for His church still today, He is working all things according to His plan to fulfill His astounding assignment. Amen.